kick in the Nixon direction. Henderson goes up, knocks it to the back.
Nedry's out the back. He needs the footy to sit. He's got a man in board in Geary. Game over.
Now here's Rayner's moment. Trot through half board. Kicks to the vacant square. We wait. A true bounce.
Straight down the spine. Geary. Johannesson. Butler. Butler. Goal.
Geelong. Adams. Standing start kick.
They need a mark. It's near the square. Myerscheck.
Open space, Tui brushed his way clear and pumped it through for a goal.
Revolt takes the mark.
Surely he puts this through from 20 metres out. He's done it so many times, of course he has. And the game is well and truly on.
Across Australia and online at aflnation.com.au. Welcome to AFL Nation.
For McDonald's, the Monopoly game at Macca's is making winners. And Liquorland, always great value.
Semi-final weekends, the consequences now weigh heavily over everything that happens from here. For the first time since 1973, Richmond and St Kilda are drawn together in a final. The Tigers condemned to walk the long road for the first time in their era of success. The Saints, they got the adrenaline rush, the heart attack almost, of a thrilling elimination final win, but they have suffered multiple setbacks in the aftermath of it. They come as heavy underdogs, and Richmond have developed Gold Coast as something of a haunt in Queensland. It is the second semi-final first as Richmond and St Kilda meet this Friday night on AFL Nation for McDonald's. The Monopoly game at Macca's is ending soon. Terms at mcdonalds.com.au and Liquorland. Click and collect in just 30 minutes. Jared Waitley with you. Anthony Hudson's with me. Hello, hello.
Good evening, Jared. Hello, everyone. Great to be with you. Finals footy as it is this year. Interesting talking to St Kilda and Richmond fans and people over the last 48 hours. For the Saints fans, not a lot's gone right since the siren last week in terms of availability. It's sort of like, oh, well, it's a free hit almost. It feels like to them they're not going in with great confidence, but I guess they have on their side the fact that they were able to beat Richmond earlier in the year. And you just never know, do you, in a finals match if they can get things rolling. So, and for Richmond fans, I think they would expect to win and, they'd be a little bit nervous because it sort of feels like everyone's expecting them to win. So it'll be fascinating to go 10 or 15 minutes into this game and go, well, where are we at? Where are we at tonight? So I can't wait for that.
I don't detect in Richmond fans that I know or have corresponded with during the week any dent whatsoever. So if they do happen to trail early, it would be interesting to see how the demeanour goes. Gary Lyon, welcome.
Hello, boys. Therein lies one of the great challenges for Brett Ratton. Exactly what Anthony's just communicated is to make sure that that is not the attitude that is sitting inside the four walls of that footy club right now. Because I sense exactly the same thing. And we've all got St Kilda people that I work closely with one. And that is an overwhelming sentiment. Oh, whatever happens today, what a great year it's been. You go and if that has permeated the playing group, and I'm not saying it has, but if it has, then they're in it for a world of pain tonight. So the coaching challenge for Brett is to say, hey, this is not, that is not a pass, you know. And you say it, but they know it is, right? So this is it. They look at it, well, the really strong-willed players will go, you're exactly right. And I don't care about winning the first qualifying final. That's not going to be my legacy moment. I'm going to push and push and push. I will guarantee you there will be one, at least one, who's looking at him going, we lose tonight, Rats. We're getting the pats on the back tomorrow. Don't you worry about that. And the challenge for them is to make sure it's no more than one. Because if it's three or four or five, then they'll get it handed to them.
Does Rats do anything different then in terms of setup or preparation or anything to sort of shake him or shock him?
If we talk to him now, he might say, don't worry, that's not a problem. I know these boys. I know them well. I've been with them all year. And one of the great impressive things is they have never demonstrated that emotion. And if that's the case, then that's fantastic. But I think they've got to be very, very wary of that. And then there's the off... flip side of that is you can play with a little bit of freedom.
So well, I was going to say, that is the positive side of the coin, isn't it? If you do take everything that you said and you're still preparing and you're desperate to win, and but you also have that freedom.
Yeah.
If that can give you something and you do make a good start and you go, hang on, we're going to put a bit of doubt in Richmond's mind here.
Yeah, and the way they played against them back in round six, was it?
Four.
I know it's a long, long time ago, but there are great elements to their game that stack up pretty well against them. And, the Tigers, well, I also sense there's not too much concern from the Richmond faithful as well, and for good reason, because they get the job done more often than not. They're going to have to do it a different way this time, which makes tonight just absolutely intriguing. It'll be a great game, I think.
They've had every misstep imaginable, the poor old Saints. Yeah. His rider in the last minute of the previous game, Carlisle, for family reasons, was departing, and then Long at the tribunal, which they were a bit more surprised about than I think they probably should have been. But nonetheless, is once you pick them out, and watching back last week's game, just admiring how good Ryder was, and Carlisle gave them great structure, even though, you know, Howard was, he was in the votes, as Carlisle gave them a pillar, and Long is so energetic for them. They are three massive outs.
They are. Ryder, you just rest that, because he was the most influential player, so we know that. But then you look at the matchups going forward. So with Carlisle out, Howard goes to Lynch, you would think. Wilkie set for Martin when he goes down there. So who's it leave for Revolt? So there's the challenge there. Does Marsh go to Revolt? Or do you need Marsh to do some backup rucking?
So is it Battle? So I think that's the decision that they've obviously made. Who goes forward out of Battle and Marsh?
Or do they use Battle on Vlosten or Grimes in the manner that he did against Haynes? They really liked the job that he did in that role. So,
and Marsh has done the same role against other players, hasn't he? So make your
one or the other, you would imagine, to be the case. And then Ben Long, well, Savage gets that opportunity, and it's his to make of it what he will. So they'll miss the net gain of Lynch, not so much Broad, but Lynch, and the loss of those three that's a big plus in favour of Richmond.
It is, but Marshall has shown he can ruck on his own, and it's not like that's a strength of Richmond. What it would have been was a strength of St Kilda, so that's now not there. But they can cover that. Savage is an experienced player. He can give them run. He can probably give them... I mean, he doesn't give them what Long gives them, but he gives them something. He gives them probably better kicking out of defence and run. So, you can sort of take some sort of positive out of the changes if you look at it that
it'll
way.
It'll be a different one for Marshall. So you look at all Marshall's numbers, his second halves are much better, well, not much better, but better than his first halves. And that's on the back of Ryder softening him up. And then Marshall comes over the top and finishes him off. So he's going to have to do it. And we know he can do it from the start, but he hasn't had to in recent times, so it's a different role for him.
A coach sells a narrative to the players, and sometimes you get a little insight. And Brett Ratten was starting to build this. I think he might have been on with me on Wednesday morning, and he continued on in his press conference. Inexperienced players getting opportunities in finals, and he had blokes he'd played with and blokes he'd seen. This was how he's clearly framing it privately, and he gave the insight publicly.
Yeah, you look through history, it's littered with people that have come in and had an impact, all the way back to Dermot. You can go through 95 with Matty Hogg, last year Pickett for the Tigers. People are going to get these opportunities, and it's whether you can grab them with both hands and, make the most of it. And I think we've got players here that are going to try and do that.
Savage in his second game of the season. So, you get that interesting insight. He's clearly drumming this hard privately.
There's a couple of names you didn't think about.
Matty Hogg would be pretty happy to get a run.
Connected to Dermot, Matty Hogg and Owen Pickett. Well, that is right. He's right, and that's how you sell it. And the best coaches are the best salesmen. By the time they're running out, Shane Savage will be thinking he's Luke Hodge.
The line I loved during the week was from Chris Fagan talking. I'm not sure whether he said this post-match but he's talked about, you've got to win a final more than once. And I talked about how they got ahead and then Richmond came again. And I thought that was a really good line.
Yeah.
And so looking for that over the weekend, not just specifically for tonight's game, but it's a good line, I think. And so we'll see if a team gets in front and whether they can maintain that or not, or whether they've got to come again and meet that challenge.
Jordan Lewis gave a great insight. So Richmond are walking the Hawthorn path of 2015. He said he thinks it will suit them. And then he gave, the sharpest insight of what we said. When you're a champion team, you actually, by the end of your reign, you need ultimate consequence. You need to know you're going out if you lose. Otherwise, that's a free hit. And we'll be fine, as we'll still win our three in a row. And he thinks now that they have the ultimate consequence. If you lose now, you're out. It will actually really serve them well to sharpen them for the task at hand.
Is it the route that Hawthorn took?
Yeah, in 15. So in their third flag, they lost in Perth against the Eagles. Yep. And then they beat Adelaide at the G. We had to go back to Perth to beat Fremantle and then whack the Eagles when they got them again in a grand final.
Well, it is a great observation. So there was this sense that, last week against Brisbane, as we watched it, that they were affronted. You know, let's say, hey, how dare you? You know, and even to the point where early I just thought that the Brisbane Lions were a touch differential, and that all swung. And when it swung, it was like, hang on a minute, this is not supposed to be happening. And there will be none of that tonight. But you would imagine they'll be aggressive and on the front foot right from the word go. So. Yeah, it shapes as a beauty. I mean, I know Richmond and Geelong supporters will never agree, but it did the competition a massive favour last week, just seeing them having to go this different route and having those route and those other two boys clubs sitting there and saying, righto, come to us when you're ready.
I know we'll keep digging down into the game a little later on elements like this, but Kingy's stat last night on your preview show, Gaz, about Dustin Martin. Oh. And his influence this year, you know, I think score involvement's either been one or two all the way through, but this year he's 14th. Still very good. But his actual impact on scoring just hasn't been as significant as what it has been previously. So although he was outstanding, obviously, in the first half last week, to the point where they've got to do something about it, and they didn't specifically, but they just got on top in the game. But it will be interesting to see what influence he has tonight, won't it, forward centre?
So the forward 50 targets last week, and this is where Lynch becomes so important, but the great surprise in amongst all this is that Revolt was targeted 13 times when they went forward. We know that, and that's a role that he's become less accustomed to, so I had to assume it again. He kicks two goals, does his job. Chole targeted 5 times, no goals, and probably mucked up another 10. Yeah. Rioli did the job, got 2. Castagna got 1. Dustin Martin was targeted none. They never went to him. They never went to him inside forward 50 last week.
Amazing, isn't it?
It is. It's a staggering thing. You know, even when things are not quite chugging along, especially when there's not Tom Lynch, you would have thought at some stage, halfway through the second quarter or halfway through the third, it's clear out, put him down there and see if he can do his magic. I think Callum Wilkie will be preparing for that occurrence at some stage tonight.
I know we'll get to the nitty-gritty as we go along. When you did the Richmond team, do you feel like they're overstocked for defenders?
I do. It's just, and I'm wondering whether there's going to be maybe even a late change. I just haven't counted that out, although I have no intelligence. I'm just looking at...
They don't generally do late changes, Richmond, so that's would be a surprise if that happens.
So Ashby, Grimes, Bolter, Baker, Broad, Hooley, Lost and Short. There's 8.
Yeah. Well, who's the second ruck? It appears as if Broad's come in to play that role.
It does, doesn't it?
He did do it, I think, even in this game earlier in the year. He did a few ruck contests and he's done it occasionally and has done some of it in their training, apparently.
And did it poorly. But it doesn't
that's true.
It doesn't seem to worry them. I can only count 4 bona fide, so 8 defenders, but only 4 genuine full-time forwards in a final. So Lynch, Revolt, Castagna, Rioli. And then the rest are all made up of Bolton and Pickett and Martin and maybe, you know, Lambert or Presty might go and rest forward. So,
well, Art's being dropped. I know it was foreshadowed earlier in the week, but that shocked me, to be honest.
Only 4 players have kicked more goals than Art in the Richmond side, and only Butler, Membry and King have kicked more than him in the St Kilda side. So at a time when you're looking at a forward setup and you're going, yeah, it's a little unusual to only have the 4, and you send out your bloke that's kicked 14 goals, which is would have him 5th on the goal kicking. It's an interesting call. So the Broad situation must be for some ruck backup, but I'm not sure that's going to be the defining moment in the game.
it's a strange proposition to even vaguely ponder.
And Gary obviously has had some sort of influence on the broader media, because I just, as I was coming in to check the AFL app, there's a relive it's the second semi-final or first semi-final or whatever of 1994. There's some highlights.
Well, Anthony,
some bloke went
I got another show up last night pretty specifically just to make sure that they got a mention. Nothing.
Yeah.
I got no mention
this
morning.
You were trying to throw to the tape and it didn't come.
Exactly.
The bit that I saw.
Yeah, so there must be something tonight. I'm sure the boys have got to
shake their head.
So that's Richmond and St Kilda, which we will revel in tonight. And then tomorrow night, it's Geelong and Collingwood, which has a completely different dynamic to it. There's no underestimating the pressure on Geelong, and it feels like a legit 50-50. I've seen the betting odds that I find them perplexing. Mm. This is flipping the coin for me, Cats and Pies, given their recent history, given the momentum shot that Collingwood got in the West, which they bring back, and how powerful a force that can be in final series, and just what the mental demons are, if they're real or not for Geelong.
You two boys sitting there with the beads of sweat just rolling down. It is. It's a fascinating game. So you go, does Mason Cox stick his head up again and continue his finals form? And if so, they're going to struggle to find a match-up for Degoe. Therefore, the goal-kicking problems mightn't be as big an issue as they were, and they don't need to kick many anyway because Geelong have kicked 5 and 4 in their last two big games. Oh, I don't know. I have this suspicion. I have a gut feel that Geelong are going to get it right. I think there are lots of things about last week that they got right that probably we don't pay much attention to because ultimately they lost. And then the bloke up at full forward, whether you like it or not, it's almost a D-Day moment for him tomorrow, and that is Tom Hawkins. So his goal-kicking through the finals it's really interesting reading. And his most recent form, 3 times goalless. Once was last week. The other time was against Collingwood back in round 7. And then there was one, I think it was against Hawthorn way back at the start of the year. So all of those things conspire. And look at these. I read these out this morning. I don't know. I'll get your thoughts on this. This is since round 16. I know he had really good finals moments. He announced himself as a footballer. In fact, on a big final stage. But since 2016, he's kicked 2-1, 1-1, 1-2, none, 4-none in finals. Tim made a really good point. He said if we were in the States, he gets smashed on that record. They go, no, this is free. Don't worry about the home and away stuff. That is where you make your mark. And I think he's made his mark there, so I don't discount what he did before 2016. But that there tells you he's overdue, I reckon.
It is fascinating, that record, isn't it? Because he announced himself in a grand final. He was a flawed player back then in terms of kicking. He's one of the few players that really got on top of his goal kicking in his career, something that was an issue for him. And yet it's come back to bite him a few times. And again, it's that chicken or the egg thing. Is he just reflective of Geelong's poor form in some of those finals?
So I reckon they're a great academic study at the moment, Geelong, if you try to put it all together. And it's not going to count for anything if they go out in straight sets. Like there'll be no depth or nuance to it. It will just be, quite rightly, blunt force trauma.
And what sort of impact does that have on the lead up? And I know Chris is superbly cool and calm and presents magnificently, but is that weighing on him and the football club as they prepare? Paddy Dangerfield's looking at it going, hey, come on, run out of chances. Gazza's, you know, he's in the absolute twilight of the most magnificent of careers. So
I know this is a discussion probably for post-game, but does it change what they do at the end of for next year, do you think? If they win this one, just say they don't win the flag, but they win this one, does that change? Do they reload and go with Crouch?
It probably then kicks on to where do they finish and how do they finish. So what happens in a preliminary final?
So Crouch, Higgins and Cameron arrive, then they're ready to go again.
Yeah, not sure they can get them all, can they?
I don't know. Who knows?
So this is Chris Scott's mode, and he's been pretty consistent around finals through the 2 weeks and how he's framed his conversation.
There's also been a lot of hard work to get to this point where we've given ourselves a chance. Not many teams have had the chances consistently as we have, and we consider it a privilege. I think Doc Rivers said that really well in a Netflix documentary, if you want to dig it up. Pressure is a privilege. We all feel it, and we handle it in different ways. We'll be up and about.
And Doc Rivers just got sacked as the Clippers coach because they can't win playoff series. And nobody thinks Doc Rivers is not one of the great coaches, but the record in playoff series is the Clippers have had enough and just tipped him out.
Best guy for Chris to be quoting.
It's just happened in the last week. Anyway, that's another element to it. What about...
And we spoke about this last... And I've spoken about this week, we spoke about last week, is... How is hub life going for these footy clubs? And you can sort of bury your head if you want and not talk about it, but it is a reality that there are challenges afoot for all of the sides that have been up there for a long, long period of time. Some of them would go deeper than others. And what sort of impact's that having on them as we go deep into a final series against the team? So more importantly, probably more significantly now than at any other time, is you need everything going right for you. You can't have the little hiccup here or even a bigger hiccup. And maybe Collingwood are an example of a team that got away for 7 days, got away from all of the stuff, you know, that might have been claustrophobic. And this is not having to go at families or anything else, but this is the reality of this very confined circumstances they found themselves in, whereas others have to stay there. And make no mistake, everyone knows there's different issues that are bubbling around, and you know, he's getting sick of him and you're getting sick of that, and that, you know, I'm sick of sleeping in this bed, all those issues. So you need the most you can coming together, and the teams that aren't are the teams that might battle.
Someone with a deep cricket background but who has an active involvement in footy said to me in the lead up to the finals that no one had put adequate thought into, okay, in a cricket circumstance now, it'd be all families out.
Yep.
Head further north into Queensland and we'll see you as we drop out. But this is business. And it's only, so we've had 6 weeks together, 8 weeks together, 10 weeks together, and it's been critical. And I've been fully supportive of the players the whole way through. But when they said it to me, I thought, they probably missed that conversation.
Yep.
You know, as we zero right in on the end where the consequences are great and where you either have 1, 2, 3, or 4 weeks left, maybe it was time to really narrow, send everybody to Hamilton Island and we will come and join you as soon as we're out, but this is business.
Yeah, and don't for 1 second think that's a disrespecting the family role in this and the partner role in this and all that, but these are extraordinary circumstances, and if you got to that conclusion, then I could see that as being a real, real positive for some teams, just to say... Now, darling, if I'll see you in two, I might see you in a week.
Mm.
I might see you in 3 days. I might see you in 4 weeks. If it's in 4 weeks, we're going to have the greatest trip around Queensland of all time. And I would imagine that this, you know, if that's where they arrived at it, players, yeah, and the families would be supportive of that, I would think.
But your question is good as to whether that question was even raised.
Yes, and it feels like it probably wasn't.
Yeah.
And it was someone who had a very specific cricket background who said cricket has not been the best model for this, but they have found what works.
Yes.
And it's to have families there for most of the time, but not all the time. This is the designated period, and they're not saying that they're perfect, but it felt like we sort of got to the point where families were going to be banned, and that was no good. And then no one revisited it. Oh, should we keep it going the whole way through?
And is there a selfishness in that? There probably is. You know, if people are driving their car going, you're selfish, misogynistic. Well, there probably is. At this time of the year, there is a selfishness. And when I played, I had my selfish moments, probably too many, to be frank, because you just got so narrow vision. But I'd hope if I ever had to do it again with the hindsight of maturity, I'd be much better at that balance. But there would be a time where you go, I'm really sorry, but I need to be selfish in this pursuit for however long, for a week, for a day, in this case, it might be 3.
The changes have just landed. So Sam Simpson's going to replace Tom Atkins. That's the one change. So Simpson did his hamstring in the Brisbane game, was it?
No, later than that. 12, I reckon it was...
Oh, that's right. He was in the votes that
North
night.
North Melbourne, it might have been, from memory. One of those two games.
It was round 12 and Collingwood's unchanged. So Simpson replaces Atkins as the Port Adelaide game. Was it, Joel? Yep.
It was two.
Collingwood's unchanged. So they go Darcy Cameron, who played so well for them, Mason Cox and Brodie Grundy. So what worked in the West, they're going to keep going with.
So a little bit less grunt, maybe a little bit more polish around the footy, forward to centre might be what they've opted for.
So Noah Saava... Because that would be
they
a structural change.
They are prone to a late change.
It's interesting with Atkins because what he brings them, that pressure that he brings them.
He was good enough to be in at a critical set of rounds last week.
He's obviously paid the penalty for not
get
winning
a clearance
that one out. Gee, that's interesting.
Really? I would be wait if I'm a, if I was at a Collingwood, I'd be preparing for a couple of alternatives.
Who are the emergencies there, Jared? Or would they be the obvious ones?
Yeah, I don't think I've seen the full grid yet, so we'll get those up as they come to hand. Just the changes to start with, and Collingwood played in a, probably a different way to what we imagined that they were going to. The way they played Geelong will be interesting because these two teams have had really low scoring doer matches for the most part against each other. They've been tactical choices in the way that they've deployed. It wasn't the way they played. Here, the emergencies are Atkins, Zach Guthrie, Radaglia, and Close for Geelong. Experience the convenience of contactless online shopping and delivery at Hyundai through selected dealers. You can buy your dream car online today with Hyundai's Click to Buy. And right now, get an extra cashback rebate when you buy online. Visit hyundai.com.au/click to buy to find out more. The Saints chief executive, Matt Finnis, is going to join us from the Gold Coast next in preparation for this semi-final against Richmond. And then we'll be in the Tigers camp with Justin Lepich, who's coming to the end of his coaching run with the Tigers, having brought them so much during this successful run. It's all happening on AFL Nation tonight. For McDonald's, the Monopoly game at Macca's is ending soon. And Liquorland, click and collect in just 30 minutes.